In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. While I was still at seminary, Father Schmemann gave a sermon at an Orthodoxy of Sunday gathering. All of the Orthodox places of origin were represented there. Those places where Orthodoxy had taken root, out of Jerusalem, then among the Greeks, throughout the eastern part of Europe, and throughout the Slavic countries, and also there was Father Schmemann himself from St. Vladimir's Seminary of the Orthodox Church in America, the result of a mission that had been founded in the 18th century by the Orthodox Church in Russia for a church in America. And Father Schmemann said on that day that on Orthodoxy Sunday, we celebrate when we gather, as we will gather tonight at the Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Atlanta with members of all of the other Orthodox churches. When we gather as Orthodox to celebrate Orthodoxy Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent, we are celebrating three events. One event in the past, one event in the present, and another event in the future. And so there is a movement from the past through ourselves and on into the coming of that future event. And he said that the first event, the first triumph of Orthodoxy, is the triumph of Christ on the cross. One man on the cross, defeated by every way imaginable, by every way of understanding, he was defeated, dying dead on the cross. Our faith originates from that defeat and the victory that it was changed into. And in the life of every Orthodox Christian, we have the same story of the defeat that we experienced at the hands of the world, at the hands of death, at the hands of the presence of death in the world. And the victory that comes out of that comes out of the victory of that man, God, on the cross. That's the first triumph of Orthodoxy. And after that time, in the following centuries, human beings tried to find some way to fill themselves from the font, from the source that is the Christian life. They tried to make the Christian faith into a way of fulfilling our human needs. They tried to fill it with content of our own. They forgot the reality of God's having come into the world and destroying death personally, as one who is not just fully God, but also fully a human being. That he was and is one who lived a human life in the flesh. That you could see and touch him, embrace him. That he suffered on the cross, and that he arose from the dead, physically, really. That he united the physical and the spiritual so that we can live physical lives of spiritual life in the world. New religion arose in the East. One that denied that God had ever become incarnate or ever could become incarnate. A religion that said that any kind of image or likeness of the divine is blasphemous, emphasizing even more deeply that which is written in the Old Testament. Thou shalt make no graven image of your God, because there is nothing in heaven or in earth that you could use to make an image and likeness of God. And this new faith, Islam, became very powerful, very influential. And in Constantinople, in the empire that wanted to be a Christian empire, people began to fear. Perhaps they had done something wrong following this Christian faith that claimed that Christ had become so truly, so fully incarnate that he really was a human being who was at the same time God. So that if you had a likeness of him, it was a likeness of God. Maybe that faith is blasphemous. Maybe we ought to get rid of all of the images and likenesses of God. Maybe we ought to get rid of all the images and likenesses of all of the saints and deny the possibility that it is our way of human life to actually be the physical and spiritual presence of God through Christ ourselves. Maybe that's not possible. Maybe it's blasphemous. And so the icons were destroyed. Paradox is that they were so successful during that period of less than 100 years, while they quaked in fear of the rising Islamic forces, that very few icons survived from before that time. And the irony is that those that did, the best known of them, I personally don't know of any others, are those that were protected on the orders of Muhammad in the Sinai Monastery.
And he did that, of course, because that Christian monastery gave sanctuary to Muhammad while he was being pursued by his enemies.
The icon of Christ and Peter and other apostles that we still have today, because Muhammad told his forces, don't ever attack this monastery. And those icons were not destroyed by the icon smashers. And then finally we come to the event that we remember, the historical event from the past that we celebrate on the Sunday of Orthodoxy in the year 843. The Seventh Ecumenical Council had proclaimed that the veneration of icons and the writing of icons is apostolic, that it is from the beginning. There are those icons that traditionally have been attributed to St. Luke, the apostle, the first iconographer, like one of the Theotokos that we have reprinted. And the reality of the incarnation was affirmed. How can we live a life in Christ if we don't proclaim that he himself really and truly was a physical human being who was at the same time God? And he destroyed the power of death, and he arose and made it possible for us to be united to God the Father through him. If none of that is real, if none of that is historical, if none of that is true, then our salvation is just something in our minds. But no, it is true. God became incarnate. People saw him, people touched him, people heard his voice, and he ascended the cross and destroyed the power of death. And saints really are able to live his life in the world. He seemed to have been defeated on the cross. If we had been there, Father Schmemann says, we probably would have said, everything is over now. He is dead. The world was dark. There was no hope. The 12 left him. And 3 days later, he came to them. And they knew him. They knew him as the Lord God, Jesus the Christ, the one in whom our life is hidden, the one whose life we can share. We can have an image and likeness of him. If we say we can't, we deny his incarnation. We deny his resurrection. He came to them, and they knew him. And when they saw him, their hearts burned, Father Schmemann says, with the light of the love of God. And in every generation, those whose lives have burned with this new light that Christ brought into the world have kept Orthodoxy alive. The triumph of Orthodoxy is a triumph in the human heart. When we accept that our own lives can reveal the presence of God through Jesus the Christ. And the saints bear witness to the fact that that is a reality. Father Shmemin then spoke to those who were there at that event, as we will gather this evening. And he said, you should remember all that the church has been through. The persecution by the Romans, the persecution by the Turks, and of course, as probably everyone here knows, all of the Orthodox world in the Middle East was overcome by Islam, and Orthodox Christianity lived under the domination of Islamic nations for centuries, and yet survived. And Russia, Orthodox Russia, fell to the godless atheists, and still we survived. And here, he said, we are today gathered together in the West, Orthodox from all over the world, in the West, where the faith in its fullness was lost. And yet we are here. The Orthodox faith has come to America. And as it was in the beginning, when the fullness of the Christian faith, when the fullness of this faith that we call the Orthodox faith, takes a human heart and makes that heart a place of its own, that is a triumph of orthodoxy. We, all of us, are triumphs of orthodoxy. The fullness of the Christian life has returned to the West, and the West has been retaken for orthodoxy in our hearts. That is a triumph of orthodoxy. And our calling is to witness to the reality of this actual life in Christ. Not as a set of words or something that can be preached and taught, but something that can be lived. Something that can take hold of the human heart and transform and transfigure. Because that is what the Orthodox Church is meant to do. Father Shmemin said that we must witness to the fact that the fullness of the church and the fullness of the faith has survived to be a force to transfigure and transform all of the world today. And he says if we close our eyes, we can see that our gathered presence, an already existing triumph of orthodoxy in the West within ourselves, prophesies a fullness of the conquest of the hearts of all of those in the West who truly want to unite themselves to God, who don't want to take the Christian faith and make it into a way of propping themselves up or giving themselves some kind of confidence so that they can go out and live a secular life, but those who have died, those who are defeated in terms of our confidence in the world and what it can do, and are ready for that defeat to turn into the triumph of the fullness of the Orthodox Christian faith. And when we say Orthodox, we mean a fully incarnate faith, a faith that is incarnate in our own lives, because God himself was incarnate. The triumph of Orthodoxy is its triumph in our own heart. The first celebration of the triumph of Orthodoxy was on the first Sunday of Great Lent in 843. And from that time until now, it has always been the same. The battleground is within our heart. Not heart in that emotional sense, but heart in the sense of that place that is at the same time physical and spiritual. That place where Jesus says, everything comes out of, and how we live in the world comes out of that heart. The transformation of that heart is the business that we are about in our lives in the world, and it is the center of the effort that we make during this great Lenten season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.